Obituary.
Helen Fisher, the discoverer of the science behind romantic love, died on August 17th, aged 79.
What is love? A many splendid thing. The power that makes the world go round? A madness? A fire that can warm your heart or burn down the house? A deep sea? The greatest pleasure? Infinity? Blindness? The course of love never did run smooth, in the words of an Alaskan native whom Helen Fisher liked to quote. It was also a pain as terrible as a boil about to burst. She experienced the pain and pleasure of love as much as anyone, or everyone, else. But as a biological anthropologist, she could not leave it there. For 20 years, she studied sexual behaviour in many cultures, and that was simple enough to explain, a biological urge to reproduce, ranging over a wide field. But what people danced about, wrote poems about, cried about, pined for or killed for was something else. Romantic love was a mystery, horrible when going badly, but when going well, perfectly wonderful. There seemed no reason for it. Then, as an expert on the brain, it struck her that it might be hardwired into human beings. To find out, she and two colleagues picked 17 students, all freshly in love, and scanned their brains. She chose them by asking first how often they thought about their sweethearts. All day, all night, or all the time, came the predictable answer. So would they die for this person? Yes, said each one, as if she had asked them to pass the salt. In short, they made perfect subjects. Once they were in the MRI machines, she showed them pictures of their paramours and, as a control, photos of other familiar faces. At the sight of the loved one, their brains lit up in the ventral tegmental area, a tiny factory at the base of the brain where dopamine was made. It lay well below cognitive thinking in the brain's reptilian core. A10 cells, specifically, became active, as they would when rewarded with food or with the high of cocaine. But at least you came down from cocaine. Her next experiment, crueler, and with subjects no longer starry-eyed but in bad shape, was to put through the scanner 15 students who had just been dumped. At the sight of their ex-sweetheart's picture, their ventral tegmental areas lit up even more, fired by longing for what had been lost. Since the pain was so unbearable, what was all this for? And why was it so exclusive? Why, at a crowded party where almost everyone was from the same background and of the same general intelligence, did one set of curls or some particular blue eyes stir up butterflies in your stomach? And why did that feeling become an obsession, as if someone was camping in your head? Because, she concluded, romantic love was a fundamental drive. It was wired into the brain because, to find the ideal mate, humans needed to focus on one individual, suitable or not. It was also, once triggered, an addiction, and one of the most powerful on Earth. The mystery still remained of why X was attracted to Y, not Z, and here she was urged to go deeper. In 2005, she was appointed chief scientific advisor for Match.com, an online dating service, specifically to answer that question. It had to be a matter of personalities laid down in the subchemical systems of the brain. Like Plato, she felt a close sympathy with all poets and philosophers who had tried to untangle love, she identified four broad sorts of personalities. Hers were explorers, builders, directors, and negotiators, set out in the Fisher Temperament Inventory, or FTI. Explorers had high levels of dopamine in their brains, which made them creative and inspiring. Builders had high serotonin. They were rule-bound and conscientious. Directors with high testosterone were logical, competitive, and tough-minded. High estrogen negotiators were consensual and nurturing. No one was all or nothing. Everyone was a mixture, and every mixture was subtly different, explaining why no two people, even she and Lorna, her own identical twin, were exactly alike. She herself was all dopamine creativity at her desk, high estrogen caring in company, and, though terrible at maths, scattered with testosterone logic, too. Her inventory was hugely popular with lovers, and she hoped it was useful for relationships generally, in schools, offices, consulting rooms, or any place where people had to get along. 40 countries used it widely. Books and TED Talks underlined the message, with millions tuning in. But romantic love was still getting away. Her FTI could not describe the phenomenon of love at first sight unless brain chemical levels could be discerned immediately and at a distance. It also could not account for a different group of subjects, mostly in their 50s and with an average 21 years of marriage, who still professed to be wildly in love with their partners and proved it by the glow of their ventral tegmental areas as they went through the scanners. Love sprang surprises, too, in her own life. Her first marriage in 1968, when she was graduating, lasted a mere 4 months. After that, there were various relationships, but no more marriages, until she decided at 75 to tie the knot with a man she had known casually since 1994. In 2014, on a group trip to a ranch in Montana, they both felt that old dopamine stirring, but it faded. The next year, after dinner at a restaurant and a game of pool, they spent the night together. But he worried, serotonin, that this was getting too serious. They split up at Grand Central Station. She cried terribly. 2 months later, he was back, and love settled. They got married with a backdrop of Montana mountains. She carried a bouquet of scarlet Indian paintbrush, and their officiant was dressed as the King of Hearts. People often asked whether, knowing as much as she did about the science of love, love itself was spoiled for her. Hardly, she said. You could know all the ingredients in a chocolate cake, but when you actually ate it, it was just joy. The real key to lasting love was to prolong the romance, and the best way she found, ideal for late bloomers, was to keep separate apartments in New York. Each parting, as Emily Dickinson said, was all we need of hell. But then came each reunion, euphoria, and magic.